radio home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
The Buffalo Sabres announced this morning they have recalled defenseman Matt Tennyson and goalie Scott Wedgwood from the Rochester Americans. The Sabres are hosting the Flyers tomorrow afternoon, 1 p.m. puck drop. You can catch pregame coverage with Brian Duff and Mark Dambier on 12:30 or on WGR 550 with Brian Koziel beginning at noon. Following the Sabres, the Buffalo Buttes are hosting the Connecticut Whale at 6 p.m. at Harbor Center. It is Teddy Bear Toss Night. Bring a new an unused teddy bear or plush toy to throw on the ice when the Buttes score. All toys will be donated to Child and Family Services of Western New York. The Toronto Maple Leafs lost to the Red Wings last night, 5-4 in overtime. Dylan Larkin scored with 2:12 remaining in overtime for the win. Jonathan Bernier, 27 saves. William Nylander, no points in his season debut, 12:48 of ice time, and had not practiced with his teammates prior to the game. The Bills host the Jets this Sunday at New Era Field. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. Tune into One Bills Live next for a pregame or a game preview with Bills color analyst Mark Kelso around the league with NFL Films' Greg Cosell and former Bills nominee for the Walter Payton. And with Bills nominee. What are you looking at, Razor?
I want to give you my glasses.
I don't need
obviously
it.
You can't see it or you don't know how to read. One or the other.
Well, Greg Cosell in for the Bills nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. The Titans defeated the Jaguars 30-9 last night to kick off week 14 of the NFL. Titans running back Derrick Henry had a historic 99-yard touchdown carry, joining Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett as the only players in NFL history to do so. Henry finished the game with a franchise record 238 yards. Can you guys shut up? And stop talking in my backswing.
You're smarter than that. You went to special schools growing up.
You come in here.
You have to be able to read. Okay.
Can you?
So it's got to be your eyes.
It's got. You know.
Let's go with that. It's got to be your eyes.
Yeah. All right.
Don't be too much of a man. Ask for help.
What do you think about Matt Tennyson coming up?
Oh, I think it means that there's a low body injury somewhere on the
We have currently right now Scandella out and McCabe out and Nelson's out, yeah. Right? And two of those guys are out week to week, are they not?
Yes.
So Scandella might be ready, might not be ready, but brought up Tennyson, who's basically a right-handed shot that would be playing with Beaulieu if they need him in the lineup.
Instigators, Rob Ray's here. If you didn't hear him during the update, Andrew Peters, Craig Revay, WGR 550 and MSG. He is at Rob Ray 32 on Twitter, never uses it, so don't bother. He's at Craig Revay 52, occasionally uses it, shows at the Instigators. And Darren Dreger at 11:30. Sabres play the Flyers tomorrow, 1 p.m. So is there a move, Razor? We were talking in the A block. Is there another move for Jason Botcher here? Do we stand pat, you know, throughout the remainder of the season?
I don't think we stand pat. I think that Jason Botcher is maybe just waiting to see what he's got. I think that.
What do you mean waiting to see? He doesn't know what he has right now after 30 games?
No, because I think you got Lawrence Pyle coming in who's only played two or three. If this kid can step in and play an everyday role and they're comfortable with him playing, you know, whatever he needs to play, then that could open up the door on the backside.
Okay.
That, you know, something could happen there. I think that any time he's going to improve his third, fourth line, it's maybe a longer-term thing, not a short-term
thing. Why do we need to improve our fourth line? I think it's the second and third, don't you think? They're the ones that we need the secondary scoring.
Yeah, guys coming. I think don't you have guys coming over their end of their contracts, like say
Larson
Gergensen's and these guys.
You have to make a decision
on them.
I think
you got to start looking forward.
I think
whether
next
it's
year,
them
that's
or
where
are you going to replace them with something. And
well, that's where I think next year, either one or both will be gone. I would imagine maybe you keep one. I don't know, depending if they, you know, at the start of the year, I think we probably would have said move on from them. But now I feel like they're playing You know, they're playing a good brand of hockey.
They're playing great.
Yeah.
You know, and especially on the penalty kill side of it. But
I feel so like that Rasmus Asplund potential role that
maybe
that could
where
be
a door
next
opens
year.
Up that you can be, that you can start moving that. You might have thought maybe those guys at this time last year or even at the end of last year, you're like, no sense because I don't know what you're going to get in return. Is it now? I think they've raised that level of their game. And if that was an area that you were looking at, it's definitely improved your options or the opportunity to do it.
I don't know.
You can never have enough experience. So if it stays status quo and you just add, then perfect.
Well, Razor, I think the conversation comes from, you know, where the team is in the standings. Yep. I think it's unexpected, and you know, you wonder if there's a plan in place. Do you deviate from the plan and maybe speed up the process? And I don't know if there is the guy that Craig is looking for. I don't know who it is, and I don't think Evgeny Malkin is
listen, you know,
What's that?
Patrick Kane.
Do you think that's realistic? Or are you just catering to tweets now? Are you reading
I'm not
your mentions?
To tweets. We sat and talked about it the other day. They're looking to get rid of guys, right? Chicago's in a bad spot. They've got to get rid of guys. Are you going to get rid of Seabrook? Who's going to want him? Okay? No. Johnny Toews is the face of your franchise. Are you going to move him? Probably not. You're going to keep going. Who's the other D?
They have Duncan Keith and
Duncan
Seabrook.
Keith.
Yeah.
And
those are the two guys that need to be moved. Everybody else on that.
Duncan Keith, you might be able to get a nibble. Kane, I think you definitely do. They eat part of it. You're not paying them the full contract. You come in, that kid can still play.
Who?
Kane.
No doubt
he can still play.
He's
at
still
an upper level. And all of a sudden you
league.
Add him to a group like this that have got offensive power, then that totally takes care of your offense through the rest of your lineup.
And my only concern with that is this. My only concern with that, I'll tell you what it is. So who is he going to play with? Is he going to play with Jack Eichel?
No. He plays with Casey Mittelstadt. No, you don't bring him in here to play with Jack. Jack and Skinner are fine. Sam's fine there. You put him on the second line.
Second line.
There you go.
Casey Mittelstadt. There's a kid. There's the next best guy that offensively can play with that guy.
Could you imagine Kane and Mittelstadt?
He's a sweet passer.
Little whoopsie-doo, dipsy doodles. Yeah.
You know, the way I see things a little different.
Connor Sherry.
I think when you're looking at Casey Mittelstadt, yes, he's a highly skilled talent. I think he's got great upside for the Sabres for years to come. I do not think in his second year that he should be on a line with Patrick Kane and have all that pressure. I think he's better suited right now for a third line position to allow him to when you're looking long term for him, I think that's where he should be sitting right now and not giving him second line minutes, which he hasn't earned yet. You know,
Casey?
Yeah.
Well, what's your realistic? Okay, so what's your realistic timetable?
Well, I think that obviously he's an offensive player, but right now he's put in a position where he's relied on defensively.
Why is that?
Well, because he hasn't got the guys to play with.
Well, it's not that they doesn't have the guys to play with. It's because he's playing against the other team's second or first or second line, and it's over his head.
What's your
and that's reality.
He's handled it fine.
He has 9 points.
So what?
That's not that.
What's
what do you mean?
Minus?
So what? When he's a second line center,
what's
he needs
plus
to have
minus. What's the other guy?
That's my
with?
Question, Riven. I'm not trying to pile on here, but was the expectation for Casey Mittelstadt when he came in the league this year to tear it up statistically? I kind of thought we did a prediction on this, and it was somewhere in the 40s. He can still do that. He has 9 points in 29 games. I mean, he could get 30 in the last 50. I mean, but if he doesn't...
You think he's going to get 30 in the last 50?
Well, if you trade for a guy like Patrick Kane, he might. Now, that's my question. What's the timetable on a deal like that?
I'm not saying this happens this year. I'm not saying to Patrick Kane, hey, go get him But I'm saying somebody like that, you know, maybe next year when you're
Is there a move this
year
that you think that this team could... Because let's be honest. I mean, there's a grueling stage coming up.
Yeah.
In the schedule. It might not be this five-game segment. This is actually pretty luxurious, this next five-game schedule with the travel and whatnot and the time they have off in between games. But there's going to become a tough time, and I wonder if there's a timetable for you that might be to bring in a guy to try to keep the train rolling, or do you think the plan is to see if these young guys can handle and weather that storm?
Isn't that why they brought in Patrick Berglund?
He's not everyone had Patrick Berglund slated as a third line center, and he's on the fourth line. But they also had him slated as a third line center flip-flop between second and third, not because he's a second liner, but because he could buy time for Casey Mittelstadt to protect him a little bit, right? But they don't have that luxury because Berglund's not playing that way. But I guess, you know, therein lies the issue. Maybe Berglund is a guy that might be able to protect Mittelstadt a bit, but I don't know. I mean, is that where you're going with that? I mean, you just don't think Casey Mittelstadt is going to be the guy that can handle that load down the middle.
I think Casey Mittelstadt, when you're sitting there taking a 20-year-old kid, he's going to be 21 next year, and all of a sudden throw him in a second-line center position, I don't think he's ready for it. It could take him 3-4 years to get to the point of being a second line. I think you need to Casey Mittelstadt will grow, I think, at a faster rate. If you have a second-line center that's a legit second-line center who is now going to have to garner a defensive response from the other team. So what happens is everybody knows that the top end guys are going to have to play against Jack Eichel or he's going to go and eat them up. But right now on our current team is their next thing is Casey Mittelstadt is the guy that has to play defense against the other team's top line because he's the next most dangerous guy.
And that's probably what makes a team like Toronto a favorite because of their Toronto. Strength.
It's
down the
absolutely ridiculous. It is Matthews ridiculous. And John Tavares is disgusting. But then you have Nazem Kadri, who scored 30-plus goals in the last number of years. He's unbelievable. They are so deep down the middle, it's ridiculous.
And on the right wing.
I mean, look at all the top teams in the league, they're deep down the middle. You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, who have started to really take off now that Derek Brassard is back in the lineup. Because now they have, you know, Crosby, Malkin, and now they have Derek Brassard playing in that third line center, which bumped down Riley Sheehan to the fourth line. And now you have arguably the best four centers in the National Hockey League. It all comes from strength down the middle.
What round was Riley Sheehan drafted?
Casey Mittelstadt right now is not a second line center, and he's not going to be a second line center next year either. He needs time to mature. But I believe with his skill set that he absolutely will move into a second line role.
That process just not will right speed now. Up if he's got somebody on his wing.
See, and that might be the you know, you look at the gap, but you also look at who he's playing with too. And I'm not taking certain players require other players to play with. And
Who's Casey Mittelstadt playing with right now?
Is it Kyle Oposo, Tage Thompson?
And Connor Sheary.
Connor Sheary.
Okay.
Connor Sheary's been in and out.
Maybe if there was a second-line center and Connor Sheary and Kyle Oposo played with a real second-line center, maybe their point totals would be a lot better.
That's some interesting signs.
Now you have Casey Mittelstadt sitting in the third pairing, and he's playing with, you know, a Jason Pominville and a Tage Thompson.
I don't know.
Whatever,
that we're not trying to not rebut because we can't. I just think – I don't think we want to –
I just don't think we want to.
We don't want to hit this line in the jungle.
He's feeling good about himself.
Dan Carcella, who actually beat you up in that second fight that Razor referenced, actually talked about the lion in the jungle type thing and how lions, they aren't from the jungle.
Excellent.
Daniel Carcella went off and like, here's Ryan Reeves saying, "Oh, we ran into a lion in the jungle," and lions aren't found in the jungle. So anyway, there you have that. So I just thought I'd throw some education.
The whole conversation,
National Geographic.
The whole conversation was currently where Jason Botterill's mind, and most likely we're going to be sitting in a situation that, you know, could we just allow these young players to grow through some growing pains, right? And allow these young guys just to continue to gain experience, or do you take the thought of we're sixth in the National Hockey League right now? Is there a move right now currently because we have a number of first-round draft picks, we've got some nice players in the minors, are there some moves that
there
is,
it may
do?
Be it may be the time. It only could – you could say it could possibly be the time because you do have the draft picks.
Yeah.
You do have, after guys go off the books next year, about $28 million in cap room.
Yep.
Okay, do we have to sign anybody big coming up? No, you got Jack in 2 years.
Sam in 2 years.
You know, everybody else is kind of tied up for a while, so you don't have that big ticket that you got to worry about.
You
got something to work with. If you go through the, I'm just saying, if you go through the season, you draft, use those picks in the draft, you're going to get good players, yeah, and it's going to help you out long term too.
It's going to be 2-3 years down the line before they're impact players.
But do you take those to,
Let me ask you this. I talked about the St. Louis pick. The St. Louis pick right now is the most intriguing thing.
Yeah, but it's going to be probably carried over if it's a lottery pick.
Do you not
right?
think that's okay with what you see out of St. Louis and where their team's going?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the St. Louis pick and say, wow, that could be the most intriguing pick for the Buffalo Sabres organization in a long time. You're looking at a team that right now currently is tied for last in the league. So that means that St. Louis is going to keep their pick in this draft. But do you think that team's going to get better? They have players on that team that they signed this year that are only going to get older. Tyler Bozak's not having the greatest season. Perron, they're going to lose Jay Bomeister. They're going to lose Gunnarsson to unrestricted free agency. That team might be worse than what it is this year, which means that the Sabres could benefit from a very, very high draft.
We missed the boat on that last question you asked. I need to go back because after you asked that question about who do we have to sign and pay, I went back. You said, you mentioned a lot of money coming off the cap raiser. I went back just to the Sabres cap-friendly page here. Let's not forget a little guy by the name of, if I can pronounce the name here, Skinner. We're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, but even so, what does he make now? $3
million? Six.
Six. So he's going to what? He's going to go to eight, nine, ten?
So, you want to give him $2.5 million
more. So
you
just add four more. Say, add four more onto it from what he's doing this year.
Let's not.
You still got.
Let's not make not him even 9.75.
Close. I'm just saying. Not even close.
Let's not make him, Razor, let's not make him 9.75.
Okay, but I'm just, what the point is, you got room to do it.
You want to give him some of your money on the side.
I don't care.
To fleece him to do an endorsement for the hot dog place, yeah. And like that can make like
be a part of it. I
you
guess.
Know, you pay him $1 million, like Johnny T's getting $6 extra million in Toronto and yeah. side endorsements.
Yeah,
but the thing is that you're already paying that, and that's already in your cap. The cap's going up. Plus, you got all the guys come out. You've got room to work.
So you might pay him a couple $1 million more than what you're currently paying him now. Yeah. You got a lot of money coming off the books next year for a number of players.
Yep.
That's why it's intriguing right now to kind of to figure out, you know, what we can do.
If
moving
he did
forward.
Want to do something, he's got stuff to work.
Yeah.
With.
Well,
his
what's
hands
great
are
is
not tied in any way.
Goaltending's not going to cost you. You've got Hutton for the next couple of years after this at 2.75. Linus has to sign a deal, but he's an RFA. So say he signs for a few years at a couple million.
Yeah.
So you got goaltending, good goaltending, competitive goaltending at under $5 million. I mean. But the question is, you know, who do you go out and get? Now, I was going to bring somebody up. I had an idea. You brought up Patrick Kane. What the hell? Matt Duchene was the guy. Now, here's the thing, Razor. I don't know if Ottawa would give him up, but I don't know if that's a guy that you want. I don't know what his locker room life is like nowadays, if he's straightened all that out, if he's a good guy or whatnot. But I'm just curious to know. That could be the answer to all of your problems, maybe. I know he's a UFA at the end of the year, but for a rental, is that what you're thinking?
Who?
Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene.
Would you be interested in bringing Matt Duchene?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they
not?
Need a first round pick.
I mean,
pick,
he's 20. I wrote him down.
Like,
somewhere.
Ottawa doesn't have a first round pick.
He's 27 years old. He's got 34 points right now in 29 games. Do you not think that is a second line center in a big way in this league?
Would you give your Sabres.
Yeah, but how much you got to pay him?
Well, you're going to.
You want to give up a first round pick just to get him in here for a few
months?
Well,
you have four first round picks in the next couple years.
I would want to re sign him. I would want to try and
the only way you'd
him.
Do it is
absolutely.
Have the anticipation of re-signing the guy.
And do you not think that, you know, a situation that, you know, he's in Ottawa, but I don't know where they're going in Ottawa. I don't think they know where they're going in Ottawa. What's going to happen with the new building in Ottawa? Do you want to sign long-term in Ottawa with what's going on there and how the owner there has just been kind of like flip-flopping of, you know, how to pay guys and how not to pay guys? I mean, I think the Sabres are one of the best up-and-coming young teams in the National Hockey League. And to bring in a guy like, Matt Duchene, where you're going to have to give something up. Like, if you're looking at Ottawa, they're kind of in a bit of a transition. What do you have to give up to get them? You're going to have to give up a prospect. You're going to have to give up a first-rounder, and it's going to have to be significant.
Well, it would be conditional based off of whether he signs or not.
You wouldn't make the trade unless he's signing the contract.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you? Okay, so would you make the trade if you knew that Matt Duchene was not coming here this year with where the team is at right now and Ottawa said, give me a first round pick right now, would you make the trade even based on the fact that he may not come back?
No. Absolutely not. I'm not.
So you're not that desperate for a rental.
Absolutely not. I'm not going to make a roster move for this team unless it's going to affect me long term. I want this team is in a great position. all the scouts and the coaches and Bottrell have built up a nice war chest of prospects. You saw it at the start of the year, which I can't remember who did that that write up, but the Sabres right now are one of the top.
They were the top.
They were the number one prospect
farm
pool in the league. Let's keep that prospects. Here's the thing: it's one thing to have all these prospects, but sometimes you have to. If you want to try and make your team better, and I think Matt Duchene, for an example, just for an example, he would make our team significantly better. Because now you're slotting a Casey Mittelstadt, which I'm talking about, in a position where I think he'd have a lot of success. Because guess where the top two lines are going to be trying to shut down? Going to be trying to shut down Duchene and Eichel. And now you have Casey Mittelstadt that's now playing against the third and fourth line. He's going to be able to slowly eat those lines up, which what I believe. So, I just think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do and the thoughts of how they want to move forward with this. If they want to, you know, try and say, hey, we've got something here. Or if they say, we need a little bit more time before we can make decisions, big decisions like that.
I say he's patient.
Most likely he will be patient. I think that we have some very young players, even like Tage Thompson. I mean, we've seen these flashes of like, holy smokes, this kid is going to be super good. And then there's other times where you're like, maybe he needs some time in the minors. It's kind of like that flip-flop of
if the Sabres, what we're getting right now. If the Sabres missed the playoffs this year by a few points, 5 points, and they didn't make a deal, I'd be sitting here really looking forward to what they were going to do at the draft with 3 picks this year, potentially 2 for sure, 3 maybe, 4 over the next 2 years, currency to trade and start a season. And
that's
start.
I say it happens.
You know what? The offseason might be the best time to get a Patrick Kane, where everybody can kind of sit back and say,
yeah,
let's reassess. Yeah. Let's reassess our teams, our cap situation, caps going up. Where are the other teams in our league? What
Chicago
do we need?
In particular is going to sit there and look and say, listen, we didn't make the playoffs because we lost our number one goaltender in Corey Crawford. And now all of a sudden you move into this year, they fire one of the most storied coaches in NHL history.
Well,
they fire
decade.
Him. They bring a new guy in. He does even worse. And now all of a sudden Chicago starts to reevaluate. What are we doing here with two $10.5 million players on our lineup, and we're not doing very well? So it's like maybe they want to restock the cupboard with some prospects. And Sabres are a team that we have an abundance of them.
And
right
I'm
now.
Them. I've got those four guys out there, and just seeing what I could get for them.
I'm going to restock right. the cupboards with guests. Maybe razors not Jay's, out.
He's, like I said, the face, but the other three, somebody wants them. Come
if you had an opportunity, just say hypothetically, you had an opportunity to get one of the two guys. If you had an opportunity to get Taves or Kane, which one would you want?
Kane.
Panarin.
Johnny T. Very simple. Johnny T.
That's not what he asked us.
Or not Johnny T. Jonathan Taves.
They're not going to let Jonathan
Oh,
Taves
Johnny
go.
T. That Johnny T. Okay.
John Taves staying there.
Is he a lifer?
I think he's a lifer.
He's a lifer. He's the Yzerman.
You don't think Patrick Kane's a lifer?
There?
Yeah.
No. I think Patrick Kane's got a lot of hockey left in him. I don't think Jonathan Taves does. Mm. I think Jonathan Taves slowing down.
Why would they keep him?
The inconsistency in his game now that you didn't see 5 years ago, the mistakes, the pace. Patrick Kane's probably doesn't have the wear and tear on his body as Taves does for the way he plays.
So you're
not going to lose the instinct. You're not going to lose the shot, and you know.
And the game is starting to move in the way that Patrick Kane's like, I might play till I'm 45.
He might. Hey, take him and set him on the bench and put him there. Power play? Patty, let's go. Get on your off wing out there. Jack, you get on one side. Pat, you get on the other and go to her, boys. Ta-ting, 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 ta-ching. Best way to fix power play.
You have Jason Bottrell's number right now? Let's get the trade rumors going.
Fired up.
I'm just kidding. All right, here we go.
All I want for Christmas.
Can I go now?
Yep.
Can I do my job?
Sorry.
I'm done then, right?
Well, if you want to be, do you have to be?
I'd like to be. I got a big game, 12:55, back at the Pepsi Center.
Do you like coming on with us, Razor?
My kid got the
day
off.
I don't care.
Today.
You like coming on with us?
No. Yeah, it's fine.
Go ahead. What are you going to say about your
kids
loving what, hockey?
School today, right?
They're loving hockey. The kids are loving hockey.
You know what? They're learning so much more at hockey today than they ever would at school. It's awesome.
Like what? Like what? What are you teaching these kids, Razor?
I told them that the market's down
700 points.
I found out today that money motivates them earlier before the first game.
Yeah, you told us that. Wouldn't you say that's half the league now? Over half?
I'm talking nine-year-olds.
Exactly.
Still got them going.
Starting them young, eh?
Yeah, and it didn't take much. What else did I learn today?
Not what did you learn.
No, they learned today that they can't lay on the ice. I told them, suck it up. You never want to lay on the ice and let the other team see that you're hurt. Just even if it's hurting so bad, suck it up and get in the bench. Yeah, we don't want to be like soccer players, they all said. I said, that's cool. We're getting somewhere. I said, in between games, stay away from your mothers because they coddle you too much. Okay, we got to stick a hang around your dads or each other so you kind of.
I don't know.
I went to the parents.
I don't know about that.
I told them how such a great job.
I've seen some cupcake fathers, and the mothers are the ones that are the ones that are
opposite on our.
Urban night. Oh yeah, my mom laid into me a few times.
Yeah.
After a game,
old Care Bear. She was tough.
I knew I didn't play well when my dad had the old Buick pulled right up to the front door, and the trunk was open. It was like,
dad,
and I was old enough to get. I was old enough to get in the front, and I got in the back. Hey, trunk was open. Hey, the car's revving at 2,000 RPMs to get it warmed up, and the exhaust.
I swear
is just...
to God, that is hilarious because yours was a Buick, ours was a Volvo 240. The old
must have been nice. The old Remy household.
Yeah,
I know. Is that the one with the headrest where you could like put your hands through it?
Put your hands.
Good talking.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very European, ahead of the curve. We'll be
did
right
your
back.
Your parents'
here.
Car have smoke coming out of the windows too because they were both smoking in the front seat.
My mom did back in the day.
I wonder why my lungs are so shot now. Thanks, Mom, Dad.
Oh, Instigators, Andrew Craig, Razor. You never know what you're going to hear here. And coming up here is Darren Dreger right here. WGR 550 and MSG.
Talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, let's not waste any time. He looks like he's on the go. Darren Dreger on the phone right now with the Instigators, as he always is at normally 11:30. But Razor and what's your name again? Craig. Razor and Craig went a little long. In the last segment, started talking about some extra stuff. What's up, Dregs? That's nice leather. That's nice leather in that
car. That's a very, very expensive vehicle right
there.
That's
a nice ride.
Now, you know what it is? It's midlife crisis is what it is. For whatever reason, I did some research on some of the faster vehicles, SUVs, and I came across a Jeep SRT.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what it is. It's like 500 horsepower.
So you got the Hemi.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, maybe. It's like a 6.9 whatever liter engine. It's crazy. I don't know why I have it, but it's a beautiful
ride. So it's like the truck that you can like gun it and you're like doing 0 to 100 in like 3 seconds, right?
Yeah. It literally has a launch mode on it. Now, I've never tried it, and the research I've done suggests that you shouldn't do it very often because it's hard on the vehicle, but I can literally set the SRT launch button on it, and off the line it goes really fast in a hurry.
What color is the outside?
Charcoal.
Oh yeah. All right. But like, kind of like Razor's lungs. It sounds like that's what, from his last story. All right. Darren Dreger joining us on the line here. So, what is Jason Bottrell's next move? We've been talking about that today. Is there one? I mean, with the team and the spot that they're in.
I think that he sits tight. I mean, his next move might be engaging in contract negotiations with Jeff Skinner, as we talked about on this show a week or two ago. They're hoping to leave that till after the holiday season just to initiate and kind of slow play it because both sides, you know, wanted to see how the season would go to that point, and it's gone exceptionally well. So I don't see any reason why Buffalo and Jason Botterill wouldn't want to talk contract with Jeff Skinner. So maybe that's the next move, is looking at, you know, some of the free agents that are going to need the attention. Beyond that, I mean, the team is playing well. Why tinker with success unless, you know, something fortuitous drops in your lap in the foreseeable future? But I don't get the sense And I saw Jason briefly at the Board of Governors meetings, and I didn't ask him this, but I don't get the sense from all the managers that I talked to that Buffalo in any way, shape, or form is engaged in heavy trade negotiations with anyone.
Yeah, okay. Standing pat, obviously there's a plan in place. Joining us right now every Friday at 11:30 is Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter. I guess if you say that he's standing pat or doesn't sound like he's in on a lot of moves right now around the league talking to other general managers, Ribs brought up a point. Razor was just on. You know, what are the Blackhawks going to do? They've lost 17 of the last 20. They've got a couple. They've got a bunch of big-ticket guys, team going in the wrong direction. Is there potentially moves going on there? They fired their coach. What's next? Start to gas some of the players?
I think that's got to be the next move for Stan Mullen. And then at the end of the season, if they don't make the playoffs, and it doesn't look like they're likely to make the playoffs, then Stan Mullen is going to come under fire. No question about that. We all saw the press conference when the senior management of the Chicago Blackhawks essentially came out swinging when they fired Joel Quenneville and said their expectation is to make the playoffs. Well, I don't think they're making the playoffs. So if they don't, who pays the price there? And, you know, the smart money is likely on Stan Mullen. So I guess that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. If you're McDonough, you know, are you willing to allow the Bowmans to, you know, manipulate your roster, move out some key pieces, maybe move out some younger pieces? I don't know. Or are you willing to just say, look, let's just toe the line here and continue to battle and see where we end up? Now, there's going to be ongoing speculation if things don't turn around very, very quickly. You know, you look at some of the veteran pieces. If the Chicago Blackhawks decided that they were going to throw Duncan Keith onto the market, you know, provided he's willing to accept that, you know, there'd be a ton of interest, wouldn't there? Just based on A, how good his contract is, B, the success that he's had, and the fact that he can still play, in my opinion, at a high level in the game. So if they get to that point, then for me, it gets a lot more interesting.
Do you feel that a Patrick Kane could be available if they look to blow this up?
I think that's probably one of the last moves. You look at Kane and Taves, and, you know, hockey has become such a business, right? You know, tough hockey decisions are still tough hockey decisions, but sometimes the business side of things, you know, kind of pushes the hockey decision into easier territory. I don't know if that's the case with these two guys. And look, Duncan Keith obviously fits into that category as well, but you're talking about the identity, the faces of the Chicago Blackhawks. And I look at Patrick Kane and I can see that he is a big ticket guy, but I thought he was tremendous last year. I watched him real close at the World Hockey Championship in Denmark, and he was lights out good there. He was motivated. So if you're trading a player who still has tremendous game, you had better be getting a boatload back, because it's pretty clear then it is not renovation time, it is full rebuild of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, he has 32 points and 20. Like, he's having a good season. I guess I just don't know where that. This is the first time I've ever done this job where you see dynasty teams get to this point. Yeah. I mean, you've seen it, Dregs. You've been around a long time. I've only been doing this now for 6 years, and in those 6 years, it's been Pittsburgh, L.A., and Chicago for a majority. Boston's now starting to go the other way. With some, you start to see these older players start to, you know, hit beyond their prime, and you just start to wonder, like, at what point do you see these? You know, the high flying Hawks, you know, start to go in the other direction. I don't know if that time is here, or are they just a couple pieces
away? It is here.
Is it though?
Absolutely. Just because they have Taves and Kane still there, and you have Duncan Keith and Seabrook, those guys have put miles on their body, and the years and the dynasties of Chicago Blackhawks winning multiple Stanley Cups are over. They have to reboot. Yeah. They have to. If you could get a boatload for a Patrick Kane right now, I think you just have to start to rebuild your team.
You know what, Riv? I don't argue with that point. I think that that's where they're at. I think that they have to embrace at least a pretty aggressive renovation. So, you know, if you're moving Kane, then you're going to get a ton in return. And look, you know, I don't know that it's that huge of a deal to trade superstars anymore. We've seen it and we talk about it often. I mean, we saw it with Erik Karlsson and the Ottawa Senators, and that was the last piece for Pierre Dorion. You know, and that team wasn't that far away from, you know, winning the Eastern Conference and making it to a Stanley Cup final. Rarely in the National Hockey League now, in the salary cap era, do you have teams that are successful in a mini renovation or a transition. I look at the San Jose Sharks as one of the rare examples where they shifted gears and found a way to bridge old and young and still stay very, very competitive. The Los Angeles Kings have tried to do it, and they failed. Frankly, they failed. So I think Chicago and L.A. absolutely could be headed to an aggressive collection of changes.
Shorter segment than usual with you, Dregs. Darren Dreger joining us. But one final question. I watched that Leaf game last night. What's the knee-jerk reaction in Leafland after the loss last night to Detroit? Almost a comeback win, but a loss last night. And Nylander, his return.
Well, look, there were multiple parts to that game. Number one, if you want to look at the positive, the Toronto Maple Leafs made it interesting because it looked like they were going to get buried after two periods of play. William Nylander, I mean, they rushed him back. You know, I'm sure the player talked the coach into putting him in the lineup, and it probably in hindsight was a mistake, but they got to get him up, you know, to full running power sooner rather than later. You know, there was concern with the goaltending, Garrett Sparks, you know, but that wasn't on him as far as I'm concerned. And collectively, I mean, there was a gasp of concern when Cronwall leveled Austin Matthews. I mean, he went hard into the boards, and I think everybody was pretty concerned. So that game had a little bit of everything, and most of it not positive from Toronto's standpoint.
Fired up, Riff. One more.
I got to ask one quick one before we go. Who's going to get a bigger payday, Mitch Marner or Mika Rantanen?
You know, I just looked at their stats before the segment kicked in, and they're pretty close, aren't they, in terms of games played in the National Hockey League. And points amassed through three seasons, or, you know, in their third year. I mean, Mika Rantanen is arguably on the best line in the NHL with the likes of Nate MacKinnon and Landeskog plays there quite often. So Rantanen might edge out Mitch Marner because there are some big deals that have to get signed with Matthews. And now that Nylander's done, are they going to find a way to keep Jake Gardner? I don't think so. I think Jake Gardner walks for free. So I think Rantanen's going to get a bit more, but what is that? Is it 10 and a half? Because I've been consistent in thinking that Mitch Marner is going to get $10 million.
Well, don't drive in the ditch thinking about it and stay at the speed limit, Dregs. Keep that leather interior tight. We'll talk to you later next week.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, Darren Dreger, 11:30. Thanks for your time. We'll be right back. Quick segment. Preview of the weekend for the Sabres coming up right here. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right. Only one game before we're back on Tuesday. Sabres play LA at home on Tuesday. So we'll recap tomorrow's game, 1 o'clock. It's on MSG. Sabres game night at 12:30, but it's game day at 12:30 tomorrow. Marty and Duffer. And our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. All right, Linus Allmark will probably get the start tomorrow. Linus Allmark remains unbeaten in regulation this weekend. Saturday seemed to be his day. He's played very well in every game that he's been in. Maybe a couple of hiccups here or there, but nothing to, you know, write home about. And I'm going to buy this.
I'm buying it. I feel Allmark has played very, very well for in his time when he had started. And you know what? I think he looks at this as an opportunity to continue his success. And these are big games. I think the Sabres are going to be ready for Philly.
A must win, in my opinion. You're home Saturday afternoon. You've had a lot of time
getting
off.
Back on
I understand
track, right?
You have boo-boos, but other teams do too. Goaltending an issue for Philly. Got to take advantage of that. I'm looking forward to talking about a win here with you, my friend, on Tuesday.
Absolutely. And I think we will. I think the Sabres are going to be hungry for this game to get back on the winning track.
Bills play this weekend. One Bills Live next. They will cover everything you need to get ready for the Jets and Sam Darnold. WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators. Have a wonderful and safe weekend.